I didn't know if you did or not. If you did, I want you to always feel free to do that. Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. You know that song we sang, the name of the Lord is a high tower, the righteous run into it, and they are saved. Aren't you glad he's your high tower? Aren't you glad that he's your strength? Aren't you glad that he's your source? He's all of those things. Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, last week, Brother Jim talked to you a lot about the prophetic. And I'm going to just pick up a little bit on that. And the name of my sermon today, if you can put a name on a sermon, is the prophetic word. Okay? And I'm going to pause for a word of prayer before I get into this word. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for truly your words. They are spirit and they are life. And Father, I just ask you to help us just take in whatever words you speak through another to us, because it's never really you speaking through another, it's you speaking directly. Yes. And Father, I just ask you to have your way here today, to just move and flow by your Spirit. Give us ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us. And not only be hearers of the word, but go forth and be doers of the word that we hear. Because, Father, if we go forth and be doers of that word, we'll be looking into the perfect law of liberty, and we'll be being changed from glory to glory to glory into your very image. Because that's what you desire to do in the earth today, Father. You desire to have a people that will stand up in the glory of you, Father, that your glory can be revealed from the inside out, just like it was on the Mount of Transfiguration, to where when they went up on the mountain, they were ready to build tabernacles, they were ready to do a lot of things. But after they were ready to come down, the last thing that was said there, they saw no man except Jesus only. And Father, we ask that you'd not see a man, but that you would see your Holy Spirit moving through your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. I've got some things written down here, and these are some things I wanted to say to you today. You know, when we get God's word in our hearts, it absolutely changes us in everything. As we feast on the word of the Lord and eat and digest the truth inwardly, eat of Christ, we are changed from one state of glory to another state of glory. And you know, he's changing us. You know, I love that song. And we quoted that scripture back there, little by little he's changing me. We used to sing it line upon line. He's changing me precept by precept until I'm free. Jesus, my Lord, is changing me. And we were quoting that scripture back there in Isaiah chapter 28 back there. But it's a gradual change, because if he changed you all at once, it'd kill you on the spot, probably. You'd probably fall over dead because of the glory that he's revealing in his people. And it's going to be a great and glorious thing. You know, in Hebrews 13, 20 through 21, I'm not going to read it to you, but I'm going to tell you the gist of what it says. It says, may the God of peace make you complete and perfect. Yeah. And you know, that's God's whole purpose of what he's wanting to do. He's wanting to have a people who are complete and who are perfect. And you say, well, Brother Oscar, I've seen you say some, do some things, and you didn't look too perfect. Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you what. Scripture tells us that in him we are complete. Yes. And as long as we stay in him, we're complete and we're perfect. But when we go in and out of the consciousness of him, then sometimes we're not always moving in a perfect realm. But I'm telling you, he's raising up a people that are going to come into that consciousness of him and stay in that consciousness of him and quit acknowledging the old life or the old man. I like what Benny Skinner used to say when he'd come. He talked about your old man being dead And he said a lot of us grab him and pull him up on our back and drag him around with us because we'll say, that's my old nature. That's my old man that did that. Well, no. We're to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. We need to quit dragging that old thing around. We need to quit acknowledging that that thing's there and start only acknowledging what God's word says about us. And, you know, I've been saying that to you all a lot lately over the course of quite a few sermons, that we have to start believing what God says and quit believing what everything else says, you know. Because if we believe that other stuff out there, we're never going to move into the fullness of what he has for us. You know, when Jim was talking about the prophetic word, you know, I know over the years that when God started giving me poetry, you know, years and years ago, I knew it was prophetic. You know, I knew the words were actually prophetic words. And, you know, because really anything that the Spirit of Christ does in you is the spirit of prophecy. I mean, the word declares that. Anytime you move in him, it's always the spirit of prophecy that's causing you to move. It's his spirit, because his spirit was the very spirit of prophecy. You know, and, you know, when we talk about prophecy, prophecy is to edify and it's to build you up. You know, in Jeremiah, he came to Jeremiah, and I believe Jeremiah was kind of young when he came there, and he told him, he says, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you, and I called you to be a prophet. And he began to tell him, he says, you're going to build up and you're going to tear down. You're going to plant and you're going to do all these other things. And he began to tell him all the different things he was going to do. And some of it sounded kind of negative, because when God starts talking about tearing down, you know, you think, oh, that don't sound very positive. And, you know, Margaret and I tend to watch this one show quite a bit on television. And maybe some of you all watch it, maybe you don't. And it's called Fixer Uppers. That's what it's called. And these people, this Chip and this Joanna, they're Christian folks, by the way. They live in Texas. And they take people around and show them bad houses and good neighborhoods. That's what they do. And they usually show them three houses. It's funny that it's always three. You know, I mean, you know, God does funny things sometimes. It's always three houses. It's never more than three. They show them three houses. And depending on what their budget is, they tell them what these houses are for sale for. And then they tell them with their total budget that they have, that you could probably get this house for this amount, and we can take all that other money and we can redo that house. And I'm telling you, if you haven't never watched that show, if you have cable, go on and watch it, because they do a fantastic job. I mean, it is unreal what they do. I mean, I've seen them go to houses that literally I would have just bulldozed down. That's how bad they looked, you know. But Joanna has vision when she sees these places. She walks into these places, and a lot of times the carpet's all nasty and, you know, they're looking really bad. And she'll walk in there and she'll start telling the people, I can see, we'll put hardwood floor here. We'll tear that wall out and we'll tear that wall out. And, you know, and she starts describing all these things that she's going to do to this house. And, you know, it's just kind of, it's probably hard for them to envision, but they catch the vision as she keeps telling them. And then her husband comes in, and he's funny. He's always doing weird stuff. He's always climbing around on stuff and jumping off stuff and breaking stuff down. When he loves the tear down part. He loves that. He always says once they decide which house they're going to do, he always says, well, I can't wait to get in there and start the demolition. And he tears them up, buddy. He loves to get in there and tear them down. But you know what? He not only tears them down, he rebuilds them. And man, when he rebuilds them, I'm telling you what, it is just out of this world beautiful the way these houses are. I mean, those people are just shocked. And what they do is they bring them up to the house after they're done with it, and they have a big, humongous picture on rollers sitting in front of the house so that they can't see the house. And it's the picture of what it used to be. And they'll bring them up to the house, and they'll tell them, "Are you ready to see your fixer-upper?" And they'll say, yeah, we're ready. And then they'll pull it back, and always, I've never seen it fail, to where the people will say, "That's amazing," or "That's wonderful," or, you know, they get all excited. Because, I mean, man, it's just beautiful what they do. I mean, it's just unbelievable how they fix these houses up. But I want you to know the prophetic word in God is like that with you. The prophetic word will tear down things in your life. And sometimes you'll get a word that's kind of a hard word for you to receive, you know. And you'll think, "Oh, boy, that's kind of hard." But I tell you what, it's like we were talking about back there in Sunday school this morning in Isaiah chapter 28. He talks about hail coming. Yeah, I was going to say the hard rain because that's what we were talking about this morning. The hail coming. And then he talks about the overflowing water after that, that'll fill all the places. And you know, hail is nothing more than hard water. But if you walk outside and it's raining, you know, sometimes you can walk out in the rain and it'll be kind of refreshing, other than if you're a woman and you just had your hair fixed. Margaret has 3 million umbrellas in every car, and she hates to get her hair wet because her hair gets real curly when it gets wet. But you know, sometimes you can walk out in the rain, and that light little rain will hit you, and you think, "Oh man, this feels good. It's very refreshing." But if you walk out there and the hail starts coming down, it hurts when it hits you, and usually you start running for cover. And if it hits your car, it puts dents in it. If it hits your plants, it chews them up. And a lot of times it'll absolutely ruin whatever you got planted, flowers and stuff. But I want you to know, folks, that's what prophecy is like. It's a word that goes down in your heart. And let me tell you something else, too. As you receive any kind of prophetic word, it should always be accompanied by out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. It should always witness to you what God says to you. And there's a part of you that will know that, or you will have heard it, or God will have already dealt with you about that, or whatever, because I believe we are going to start moving in more in the prophetic realm, because a lot of times that's what we need. We need some things tore down in our lives. We need some things built up in our lives. And prophecy was given to edify the church, okay? All right, now in 2 Peter 1, verse 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says that we are called to glory and to virtue. Now I'm telling you, he's calling you to glory because the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us, not to us, but in us. And you know, when he says you're called to glory and to virtue, I don't know if you remember different times that when people touched Jesus or something, you know, if you remember the woman that had the issue of blood for 12 years, you know, she said in her heart, "If I can but touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole." You know, and she touched the hem of his garment. And the crowd was gathering in around him, and they were bumping into him, and they were, you know, and if you've ever been in a bit large crowd, it's hard if a lot of people are around you and they're real close and they're trying to get up close to you. They're kind of bumping into you and everything. And he said, "Who touched me? For I perceive that virtue has went out of me." Now, you're called to glory and to virtue. And I want to tell you, there's going to come times when that virtue is going to go out of you. And you need to be aware of when that happens and begin to minister to whoever it's going out to. See, because that's part of the glory, is the virtue coming out of you. Because it's not really your virtue, it's his. And he's going to make you aware of that, see. And in James 1, 4, he says, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, when it talks about patience having its perfect work, a lot of people will pray, and you know, we've preached on this numerous times over the years, but a lot of people will pray and they'll say, oh God, I wish I had more patience. And the minute that you pray that, what you're really praying is you're saying, oh God, pour it on me some more so that I can learn patience. That's what you're really praying. You don't know you're praying that when you pray that, but that's what you're really praying. Because in Romans, the fifth chapter, it says that tribulation works patience. Tribulation, that's the only way you get patience, through going through tribulation. Tribulation works patience, patience experience, and experience makes us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. So when he's saying in James, he says, let patience have her perfect work. So when you find yourselves in the midst of tribulation, you find yourselves in the midst of things that are just aggravating the life out of you, guess what? It's that old life he's aggravating out of you. It's not the new life, it's the old life. He's trying to kill that thing and get it off your back. Because until you begin to say, well, praise the Lord, I'm going to praise you in all things, Lord. I'm going to lift you in all things. I'm going to magnify you in all things. You won't have received that patience. And I tell you what, because when patience has its perfect work in you, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, patience is not an easy thing to obtain. It's a hard thing to obtain. And I don't care how patient you think somebody is, you let somebody push them far enough, and you'll see a different side of that patience come up. But I want to tell you, until we learn the key of praising him in all things, because that's the fruit of our lips. And you say, well, Brother Oscar, you talk about praise a lot. We sing songs about praise a lot. I'm going to tell you, it's the key. In the Old Testament, there's a scripture that talks about the two-leaved gates. And you know what them two-leaved gates are? Right here. That's the two-leaved gates. And until you open those gates and let the presence of the Lord come out, then it can be an ugly thing that'll come out, or it can be a beautiful thing that will come out. You know, remember in Acts that there was a man who was crippled, and he was laying in a gate called what? Beautiful. And Peter and them came along, and he's looking up. He's laying in a gate, beautiful. And I'm telling you what, when your gates are beautiful, you can begin to look up, expecting to receive. And he looked up at them, and he was expecting to receive something. And they looked at him. He wasn't expecting to receive what he was going to get, but he was expecting to receive something. And he looked up at them, and they looked down at him. And Peter said to him, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. This was a man that had been crippled probably his whole life, I imagine. And you know what? He was expecting to receive a little money. But he got something way greater than money, because he was sitting in the gate beautiful. And I'm going to tell you what, when our gates become beautiful, Scripture tells us, lift up your head, you what? You gates. Lift up your head, you what? You everlasting doors. And who'll come in? The King of Glory. Wow. Remember, he's wanting to give us glory and virtue, remember? That scripture we had up there, he's wanting to give us glory and virtue. And I'm going to tell you what, when we begin to lift up our head, we begin to lift up our thought process and we begin to say, praise you, Lord. Praise you in this awful situation. Praise you for these mean little kids. Praise you for everything that's happening today. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. And really begin to get lost in his praises. I'm going to tell you what. I've told you this story before. One time, I had a brother give me a prophetic word. And this was years ago. And this brother said, he came to me and he said, Brother Oscar, I feel like the Lord wants you to get along with him and to praise him. And I thought, well, okay. You know, I was a pretty young Christian. And I went home, and I got off in my bedroom, and I closed the door. Margaret and the kids was in the other room. And I started praising the Lord and just praising the Lord. And as I was laying there, I said, oh, Lord, let me get lost in your praises. And as I began to praise him and praise him and praise him, all of a sudden, I heard the most beautiful thing I'd ever heard. I heard a heavenly host praising God with me. Beautiful. No music, no singing I've ever heard could even begin to match that. Beautiful, wonderful. And then the Lord showed me a vision, and he spoke to me, but not in words. It was like just a sense of knowing. It wasn't like I heard words, but it was just like a sense of knowing. And he said, rise and kill the fox. And I thought, what in the world does that mean? I was a young Christian. I didn't know what that meant. Rise and kill the fox. And I thought, God, what does that mean? You know, but I'm going to tell you, by the time I was laying there, it was just so glorious. His presence was so strong in that room that when I come out of whatever I was in, whatever realm I was in, the rest of the night, it didn't feel like I was even walking on the ground. That was a euphoric feeling I had. I mean, it didn't feel like my feet didn't even feel like they were on the ground. It was that glorious, and it just hung with me, you know, for quite a while. And I began to question God, and I said, oh, God, what does that mean? What does that mean? You know, he didn't tell me right away. So I come to church, and Brother Eddie starts preaching a sermon about the little foxes that spoil the vine. Okay? And right away, I knew exactly what God was saying when he said, rise and kill the fox. It's not the big things. Okay? It's not the big things that spoil the vine. It's the little things. It's the little things that you let irritate you, beat you up, cause you to get out of the realm of letting the mind of Christ be in you. It's those little things. It's not the big things. And I began to realize that. Rise and kill the fox, he told me. You know, and that scripture in James 1:4 says, let patience have her perfect work that you might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And I'm going to tell you, that word perfect there literally means entire, it means complete, it means a lot of different things like that. And I'm going to tell you, to be complete means that you are not moved by anything that you see in the natural. When you come into a place of being complete in Christ, what you see happening out there is not going to move you. And I'm going to tell you, that's not an easy thing to get to. And it's going to take the Lord doing it. You know, it's not going to be us doing it. But our part of it is going to be that we're willing to praise him. We're willing to open our mouth. We're willing to let the fruit of our lips be his praise. See? And when we do that, you know, to be complete means that you are moving. You're not moved by anything that you see or hear in the natural. But you come to the reality of in him, you move and live and have your being. And when you come to the reality, and I mean really come to that reality of in him, you live and move and have your being, then what will happen after that that the reality of Christ in you and you obeying what the Christ in you begins to direct you to do will bring you into the full reality of God. That's what it's going to be. You have to begin to believe in what God says. You know, it's all by faith. This thing all works by faith. And that's why I've told you all in times past that God gave me the working definition for faith. A lot of people, you hear a lot of different definitions of faith from people. But the working definition he gave me was believing in the truth or the truthfulness of God. Faith comes by what? When you hear from God, you believe it. And when you believe it, you do it. And I'm going to tell you, any time that one of us gets up here and speaks, you should pray. When you come in here, before you even get in here, when you first get in here, you should say, oh God, give me ears to hear what your Spirit would say to me today. Come with an expectation. Expect to hear from Him. Believe that you're going to hear from Him. And you know what? You will. You will. Now, I'm going to share a couple of scriptures with you. In Luke 11:11-13, it says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is his father, will you give him a stone? Will you? No. Or if he asks for a fish, a piece of fish or something to eat, are you going to give him a serpent? You going to put a snake on his plate? No. Not unless you're pretty mean. Or if he asks an egg, will you give him a scorpion? You going to put a spider on his plate if he asks you for, Mom, can I have an egg? No. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Those are Jesus' words. Jesus said that. You know, Romans 11:29 says, for the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Do you know that he called a lot of you before you were even in your mother's womb, just like Jeremiah? The Lord told him, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I called you to be a prophet unto the nations. You know what Jeremiah's reply to that was? Lord, I'm but a child. How can I do that? And you know, you might think that's bad. That's good. That's good. When you say stuff like that to God, that's good. Because if you say, well, bless God, yeah, I can do it, Lord. I'll go right out there. Guess what? You're going to be in trouble. I'll tell you, you're going to be in trouble. But when he asks you to do something, it's going to be something that is totally out of your comfort zone. It's going to be something that you don't feel like you've got the strength to do. You don't feel like you're smart enough to do. That you don't feel like you're equipped enough to do, usually, in the natural. And I'm going to tell you what. Years ago, when the Lord showed me that one of my first visions from Him was me standing behind a pulpit speaking, and I hadn't even given my life to Him yet. I hadn't made a commitment, but He was dealing with me, and I was only about 13, 14 years old. He was dealing with me, and I felt like I was doing a whole bunch of things I shouldn't have been doing at that point. You know, He was dealing with me, and I was under conviction, and I went to bed that night saying, Lord, I believe, but why can't I serve You? And you know, when I asked Him that, you know what He showed me? Everything I was doing that He didn't like. He showed me, it was like He showed me everything that I was doing, and He didn't like it. He said, that's why you can't serve me, because you're doing all that junk, basically is what He showed me. But you know what? He also showed me standing up behind a pulpit like this speaking. And I'm going to tell you, if you knew me when I was 14, 15 years old, you would never believe that I would ever get up like this and do this. You would never believe it. Because I had epilepsy when I was a kid from the time I was 9 till I was 12. I wouldn't even hardly go in a restaurant and sit down and eat in a restaurant because of feeling so uncomfortable around a lot of people. And that still carries over a little bit. If you notice, when I go in and eat dinner, sometimes I kind of sit off to myself at times and stuff. But I've overcome most of that. You know what I mean? But I'm going to tell you what. That's what God does. He puts you in positions that get you out of your comfort zones. He puts you in positions where He has to get the glory, to where you feel inadequate, to where you're not capable. I don't have no real huge grasp on the English language, you know. I mean, you know, I used to think, Lord, why don't you have English teachers up there? And He does do that with some English teachers and things. And you know what? Over the years, I don't know how many times that I've got up and spoke to you guys and gave you definitions of Greek and Hebrew words. Hundreds of times. I taught a lot of y'all how to use a Strong's Concordance over the years. Because I had brothers come to me one time. And you know how I got into doing that? After I got saved, I heard preachers talking about a Strong's Concordance. And I went to a Bible bookstore one time, and I thought, man, I'm going to get this book because it's got all kind of stuff in there. I'll be able to, you know, find out all kind of things. I got this book. I bought it, took it home, and it was about that thick. I took it home. I opened it up, and I thought, what in the world am I going to do with this? That was my first thought looking at the thing. I thought, what in the world am I going to do with this? I put it on the shelf. But guess what? A few years later, the Lord had me get it off the shelf. And the Lord had me look at it. And finally, nobody told me how to use it. I kind of looked at it and fiddled around with it and figured out how to use it after a while. And then what happened was, is I began to see the depth of God's Word in there. When you started looking into the original Greek and the original Hebrew and stuff like that. And I began to find out that, man, don't get me wrong, King James Bible is wonderful. So is some of the translations. But they all fall short of telling you the whole thing. Because I'm telling you, that's why it says study to show yourself approved, a workman rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing. And you know why? How you rightly divide? I look into words and definitions of words whenever I feel like the Spirit says, look that up. And when I do, I always find something that just blows me away. I don't just sit down every time I read scriptures and go start looking stuff up. I look it up as I feel like I'm supposed to look it up, as He directs me to look it up. And boy, I'm telling you what, you know, I never knew that in James, he talks about being a doer of the word, that you might become a doer of the work. And I looked at that one time, and the Lord was dealing with me about that, and I thought, okay, I'm going to take a look at that doer there. What does that mean? And I looked it up, and I found out that that same word was back in the book of Acts, where he told them, your poets, he was in Greece or someplace, and he told them, your poets said that you were children of God and children of the Most High. And it's the word poet. And then I said, well, okay, Lord, I know what a poet does, because one time I was standing at work years ago, never wrote a poem in my life. I was a Christian. I wrote roses are red and violets are blue, you know. Never wrote a poem in my life. I'm standing at work. I'd read a Helen Steiner Rice poem. I'm standing there, and basically I thought it was so beautiful and it had a whole message in that poem. I said, God, I just wish I could write something like that. Within about a week and a half, He gave me the first poem I ever wrote, and it was, rich was he, yet poor he became, for he loved you so much that he even bore your shame. For not only did he die upon Calvary's tree, but he left the splendor of heaven to set all captives free. For the sacrifice he made was one without compare, for he left the glory of heaven, his love for all to share. And you ask, oh, how does this wondrous gift apply to even me? For he brought you from the realm of death unto that of eternity. And you ask, oh, how do I receive this gift? For the answer is simple, you see. For if by faith you'll humble your heart, you'll receive peace and harmony. That's the first poem he ever gave me. I mean, it wasn't roses that are red or violets are blue. So when God gives you something, you know God gave it to you. Because I don't consider myself a poet in that sense. You know what I mean? But also I begin to find out as I studied God's word that the word prophet in the New Testament means poet. It means poet. And people wonder why a lot of times you'll hear songs out there And even as being a Christian, sometimes you'll think, boy, that song, that's a worldly song, but it really ministered to me. You know why? Because whether that guy knows it or not, he has a little bit of a prophetic anointing on him that wrote that song, you know. And you know what a poet does? He takes insignificant words and places them in the right place, and they become very significant. Because most of the rhyming words in a poem are not the real big words, but it's usually the little words, you know. And when we become doers of the word, and he'll cause us to be then doers of the work, he'll let us be doers of the work, we'll be a harmonious one that'll fit right in the place we're supposed to fit. Okay? All right, I'm going to move on a little bit. You know, there's 9 gifts in the Holy Spirit. Okay? And most of you all know this. I'm just going to tell you what they are. In 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11, it says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all." In other words, to profit all. That's what the 9 gifts were given for your profit and to profit all out there. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith, and by the same Spirit to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another discerning of spirits, and different kinds of tongues, diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. Now those are the 9 gifts there. They're basically wisdom, knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miracle working, prophecy, discerning of spirits, kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And you know, the Lord has used me in a lot of those different ones at times. I've had different ones of those at work. I remember one time I was at my grandfather's funeral, and I never had the Lord give me the interpretation of somebody speaking in tongues. Well, one of my aunts was a holiness, you know, holiness religion person, and we're down in Kentucky, and she's down there, and she came out of my grandfather's funeral, and buddy, she took off in tongues. And I'm standing there, and the Lord started telling me words. And I told her when we got in the car, I said, "You know, when you started speaking in tongues," I said, I feel like the Lord said, "For surely my son is in my care now." And, you know, she cried when I said that. But sometimes when we don't know how to pray, that's what tongues is all about at times. It's a language. And if God releases you in it, fine. And if you haven't been released in it, just keep praising him, and it'll happen eventually when it's supposed to. I mean, it's not something where you have to go blah, 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 and all that stupid stuff people used to do to you. They used to do a lot of that kind of stuff to try to get you to speak in tongues. I don't do that to people. Just praise the Lord. You praise him, you praise him. You can start getting lost in his praises. And sometime when you don't know how to pray, you watch and see if all of a sudden you don't hear some funny things come out of your mouth that you didn't know what you even said. And you know what? But that's the neat thing about that, you know. And I just want you to know, a discerning of spirits, you know. I had a person one time that was kept saying some real negative things about another brother in the Lord. And I asked him, I said, "I think you need to go home and just pray about your attitude." "Oh, my God, you thought I cut their head off." You know why? Do you know why? Because they had attitude. That's what it was. Why would that make you mad? If somebody tells me, "Go home and pray about your attitude," you know what I'm going to do? Go home and pray about my attitude. See what God tells me. If God ever gives you that word for me, give it to me. I want to hear it. Because I'll go home and pray about it. And I'll see what the Lord tells me. Because he'll probably tell me something. But see, a lot of times when you react really bad, even when somebody comes to you with those gifts, then, you know, you're just cutting yourself off from the Lord. And he'll deal with you later on about whatever was dealing with you then. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about wisdom. Now, I'm not going to go through all these. But I'm going to tell you, in wisdom, you know, All of you that's been around here for a while, you all remember Brother Shepherd. Brother Shepherd was not the most educated man in the world in the natural. But I'm going to tell you what, in the spirit, he was tremendously educated. Because God gave him tremendous wisdom. And Brother Shepherd would say something to you sometimes, and you'd walk away thinking, what in the world did he just say to me? I mean, he'd come up to me, be talking to you, and he'd say, well, you know, God's really dealing with me right now about stored order of memory or something. And you'd say, stored order of memory? You know, that's a computer term. You know, we know, you know, RAM and ROM, you know. And you'd walk away and say, what in the world is he talking about? You know. And then later on, the Lord would start dealing with you about a scripture. And you'd say, my God, that's exactly what he was saying. We got to get this old stored order of memory out of us. Because it's causing us to react in a certain way or to do something a certain way. We need to acknowledge the mind of Christ in us, not the old Adamic mind, not the carnal mind, you know, and stuff like that. And then, you know, a word of knowledge. You know, if you remember back in the Old Testament, you say, well, Oscar, how does this apply to people in the Old Testament? If you remember back in the Old Testament when Solomon was first anointed as king of Israel, he prayed for wisdom and knowledge. Guess what? The first one listed up here in the gifts of the Spirit is a word of wisdom. And that word for word, there's the word logos. So where are you going to get the wisdom from? In the beginning, Scripture says in John, was the Word, the logos. And it was with God, and it was God. Same was in the beginning with God, you know. All things were made by him and for him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was light, and the light was the light of men. You know, life, and the light was the light of men. And you know, when we realize that even these things here, a word of wisdom, you're saying, God, let the logos of you dwell in me. And I'm going to tell you, when you have that gift of wisdom, and there's people in the body of Christ who have that, all of a sudden you start talking to them, and the next thing you know, they're imparting some wisdom to you, and it's wisdom of the ages. If you'll just listen, and you'll hear what the Spirit's saying. And a word of knowledge is a lot of times someone will come up to you, and they'll be maybe praying for you, and they'll say, well, sister, I perceive that you have this problem, or you have that problem. They don't know you. They didn't know you had that problem. That's a word of knowledge, you know. The working of miracles. God does miraculous things. He's still in the miracle working business, folks. Still in the miracle working business. And it's going to get greater and greater and greater. Because all of these right here, these nine gifts of the Spirit, they're in part gifts. But it says, when that which is perfect is come, the in part will be done away with. You know why the in part will be done away with? You know why? Because you'll be like Jesus. You won't know in part. When you speak a word of knowledge, it'll be a perfect word of knowledge. When you speak a word of wisdom, it'll be a perfect word of wisdom. When you work a miracle, it'll be the exact miracle that's supposed to be worked. When you give somebody a prophetic word, it'll be a word right from the throne. It won't be tainted with your thoughts. You know, when you discern the wrong spiritual attitude in somebody, you'll hit it right on the head. You'll hit it perfectly on the head. You know. So, you know, Scripture says, when I was a child, I thought as a child, but when that which is perfect is come, the in part will be done away. Now abideth these three, faith, hope, and love, or charity. But the greatest one of these is love. And I'm going to tell you what, when perfect love begins to function in us, we won't know in part. We won't prophesy in part, but it'll be in the fullness of God. It'll be His Word speaking directly every time. You know. Praise the Lord. Okay. I'm going to read you one more scripture real quick, and I'm not even going to comment on these. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man a measure of faith. For we have many members in one body, but all members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, even every one member one of another, having gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or teaching, let us wait on our teaching, or exhorting on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, and he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, and cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in the hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessities of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not the high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. You know, I remember Brother Eddie saying years ago, he said, sons of God are they that can ascend and condescend to men of all states. And I'm going to tell you what. If you're talking to somebody that the only thing they understand is basic salvation, talk to them about basic salvation. Fellowship with them. Love them. Don't act like you're superior to them, because you're not. If you're talking to somebody that's on a higher level, then you talk about the higher level things with them. Ascend and condescend to men of all states. Be able to do that. And I'm going to tell you, that'll show whether you're really walking in the Lord or not. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And you know, he's the Prince of Peace. And I'm going to tell you what, if you're at odds with somebody right now, go home and make peace. Go home and ask their forgiveness if you've done something you shouldn't have done. And even if you didn't, a lot of times that'll bring healing if you just tell them you're sorry. Praise God. If you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. Praise God. But I want you to know we are going to start moving more in prophetic word. We're going to move more in all of the gifts of the Spirit, but it's going to be as the Holy Spirit bids us to do it. I was talking with Brother Eddie one time years ago, and he said, you know, Brother Oscar, and this was in a sermon, you know, it was on a Sunday night. He said, I've pulled people out of wheelchairs at times years ago, and he had a healing ministry. And God moved mightily in Brother Eddie and a lot of those things. He said, but I've also had to put them back at times. And you know what? That's, guess what? Because when you did that time, it wasn't God telling you to pull them out. It was you wanting to pull them out of there, see? And, you know, when he said that, I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me. And I said something to Brother Eddie. I said, well, Brother Eddie, I said, I feel like the Lord just spoke to me. And he said, in times past, we've moved with childlike faith. But in times going ahead, we're going to move with childlike faith, but with manlike wisdom. And that's only doing that which the Father tells you to do. And I'm going to tell you what, if he tells you to pull one out of there, guess what? They'll go walking and leaping and praising God out the door. Probably throwing the wheelchair in the garbage can as they go. But I'm going to tell you, that's what we need to do, is move as he directs us to move. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your words. They truly are spirit and life. And I ask you, Father, to just bless your people. Help us all to move more into that complete, perfect day, Father, where we realize that you've already accomplished these things, and all we have to do is move into them and begin to believe what your word declares, and do only that which you direct us to do when you direct us to do it. It's very simple. It sounds complicated, but it's not. Because if we'll do that, the reality of you will begin to break forth in the earth, and all creation will be set free into the glorious liberty of being the children of God. Father, in Jesus' name, I just ask you to bless your people. Bless the food, bless our fellowship, and just be magnified and glorified in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all.